let's join the worship center at Life Church, where the service is already in progress.
Here, and I'm going to tell you about Jesus. So I'm so glad that you're here this morning. The notes for today are on the back. It may look similar to last week, and that's because we didn't get finished last week. So we are continuing on in our series on the fundamentals of Christian living. Because if we don't get the basics right, there's no need in going any farther. If we don't do the first things, then how is God going to trust us with any other thing? We got to get first things first and get those right before we move forward in God. And so God's been really dealing with me about talking to us about the fundamentals of Christian living, the basics of Christian living. A couple of weeks ago, we started this series with praise and worship. We looked at all the Hebrew words, seven key ones, that talk and regard worship in the Bible. And if you want to do more study on that, there's a whole list of 58 words relating to praise and worship on the back table, where you can take and you can study out the Hebrew meaning, and you can see what scriptures go along with them, and what all is encompassed in praising and worshiping God. Because it's more than just singing songs on Sunday. It's more than just listening to Christian music in your vehicle. Praise and worship is a lifestyle that God's called us to, where we have communion, fellowship, direct one-on-one communication with God. And so we looked at that a few weeks ago, and last week we started talking about prayer and fasting. God has called us to be people of prayer. And prayer isn't, some people, when they think about prayer, they think about, "Oh, thou Lord, we do most humbly cometh to you if today. We giveth our hearteth to you if, and we loveth you if." And we think of it as some formal religious ritual. And that's the furthest thing from the truth when it comes to our relationship with God. Prayer is simply a conversation with God. We all have friends that we like to talk to. We all have people that we like to hang out with. And so when we pray to God, it's fellowship with Him. It's communion with Him. It's a conversation with Him. Because I don't know if you've tried this before, but God will talk back. Many times we look at prayer as a one-sided conversation. And we come to God and we say, "Dear God, thank you so much for, loving me and taking care of me. God, I really could use some help in this area of my life, and this thing is going on, and God, she's sick, and I really want her to be healed. God, will you please heal her? And God, I thank you that I'll do well at work today. I thank you, God, that, you'll be with me, that I'll make wise decisions and wise choices. In Jesus' name I pray, amen." And then we head out. God's not looking for that type of communication. God's not wanting one-sided fellowship. I can just see God in heaven as He's listening to us pray. And then when we get ready to close, because it's all coming, because everybody says, "In Jesus' name," He knows it's coming. He knows you're about to shut off and go on your merry way. I can see Him going, "But wait, I want to talk to you for a minute. Wait, can you just stay in this spot for a little while so I can speak to you? I have some things that I'd like to tell you. Can you just hang out here for a second with me?" Have you ever been in Walmart and been in a hurry? That's usually how I always go to Walmart. Go to Walmart and in a hurry. And when you're in that frame of mind, and you're in, beast mode, gotta get done, gotta get out of here, gotta go, 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 you run into everybody you ever did know. You see every single person you ever knew from the time you were born to the age you are now. And they all want to stop and talk to you. And they all want to tell you everything. And they just want to, and you're like, "But I got to go. And it's good to see you. Tell everybody, said hi, we love you, got to go." And many times we do that with God. We get so wrapped up in our lives. We get so wrapped up in our daily routines. We get so wrapped up in the mess that happens on earth. And we don't make room for God to talk. Prayer is a two-way conversation with God. I want to encourage us to start stopping and waiting and listening for God. When we pray, Don't just do it one-sided. Come ready for a conversation. You know, you have those friends that when you get on the phone, you need to be fully prepared that you're going to be there for a while. It's going to be a long conversation, and you prepare yourself and you get ready for it. You know, you see them on the caller ID and you're like, okay, I know this is going to be a long one. And then you answer it and say hello, and you are ready. Well, when we come to God in prayer, we need to be ready for a conversation. Be preparing ourselves for a conversation, not just a one-sided exchange where we give our list to God and then say, in Jesus' name, amen, like that's magic dust that we sprinkle over everything and stuff happens. It's a real serious thing when we come to God in prayer. It's time where you get to communicate with the Creator. Now, we all have things that we love and that we spend time using and doing. Most of us have our electronic leash that we're attached to it. It's everywhere with us, some more attached than others. Think about if you got to sit down with the person that created this, and you got to sit down and have a conversation with them. Or think about your favorite thing that you're most interested in, and you got to sit down with a top leader in that field. Think about that for a second, where you got to sit down with a creator and an innovator that put together something that you love and you're passionate about. You would be excited. You'd be telling everybody, hey, guess who I get to meet next week? Guess who I get to have lunch with? Guess who I get to talk to? It's the person that made this thing, and it's going to be so cool, and I'm going to find out everything about it. Or whatever your thing that you're most interested in might be. And you would be excited, and you would come ready, and you would come expecting to learn and gain knowledge and grow. You would come prepared. We have an opportunity on a daily basis to sit down with the Creator of the universe. The one who gave your very life to you. The one that breathed in you the breath of God. You have an opportunity on a daily basis to sit down with the one who made the grass and made the birds and made all the deer that everybody's trying to shoot right now. You have an opportunity on a daily basis to sit down with the maker of all things. And listen and learn and grow with him. You have an opportunity on a daily basis to make that happen. I challenge you. Don't waste your opportunities. Don't waste your opportunities. The very one that gives man wisdom, knowledge, and understanding desires an audience with you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to teach you through the Holy Spirit and through discernment. And it comes by prayer. It comes by that close fellowship with God. Prayer, simply put, is communication with God. And fasting, simply put, is refraining from food for a spiritual purpose. And those are the things that we're going to look at today. Now, we all know we've been commanded to pray. We looked at this last week, Luke 18:1. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to turn coward or faint or lose heart or give up. God doesn't want you giving up. You may be going through some mess in your life. I don't know your struggles and your situations, but I know that we all have mess. We all have stuff that we go through. We get courage through prayer. We get wisdom through prayer. That's how we keep our faith up, is through that constant communication with God. Don't give up today. Press into God. If you are going through junk, don't give up. Press in even closer to the Creator. Because he is your source. He is your source of wisdom. He is your source of knowledge. He will help you through. He will give you the grace to walk through difficult times in your life. Don't give up. Give in to God and press into him. Instead of giving up, give in to God and press into him. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 through 18. Be unceasing in prayer. Praying perseveringly. So we're going to be unceasing in our communication with God. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ, the revealer and mediator of that will. God wants us to give thanks no matter what our circumstances are. We are in a month where people remember to give thanks. We should always be thankful. Always, in every circumstance, no matter how difficult our situations may seem. I hope she doesn't mind me sharing it, but I remember when Lucky was in Children's. And I went up there to visit. And the only thing, I'm like, I know you're probably stressed and you're going through stuff right now. And she said, I'm giving praise to God right now. And that ICU unit, that NICU unit was filled with the presence of God, because they were thanking and praising God continually in the midst of mess. I encourage you, thank God continually, no matter what the circumstance, no matter how bad it seems, no matter how big the mountain is in front of you, God is able. And if we will do our part, he will do his part. And if we'll come to him with a heart of repentance and being sorry for the junk that we've done wrong, then he will help us clean up and get straight and get on that straight, narrow path with God. And with him, all things are possible. But the thing is, we have to be with him. And prayer brings us with him into communion, into close fellowship, into conversation with God. Be thankful, no matter what your circumstance is, no matter how bad it seems. Be thankful. 1 Timothy 2:8, I desire therefore that in every place men should pray without anger or quarreling or resentment or doubt in their mind, lifting up holy hands. So in every place, God wants us praying. When we go to work, God wants us praying. When we come home, God wants us praying. When we're in Walmart, oh Lord, yes, we need to pray in the Walmart. Everywhere. When you're driving down the road, don't pray with your eyes closed. But we ought to be praying. You know, some of us drive bad enough with our eyes open. If we start driving with our eyes closed, it might get rough out there. But in every place, we ought to pray. Without anger, without fighting, without resentment, without doubt, lifting up holy hands. And remember last week we talked about how prayer and praise go together. They are joined together. You can't have one without the other. Some of you will remember that little saying, you can't have one without the other, something like that. But God wants us praying and praising, praying and praising, praying and praising. So last week we looked at the types of prayer. And I'm not going to go back through all those in detail. I'm just going to remind you where we've been so we can finish up this today. So we looked at the prayer of agreement. That's where you and another person are in 100% agreement, joining together in prayer. Prayer of faith. That's normally what we think of when we think about prayer. We bring our petitions or requests to God. Prayer of consecration and dedication, where we get ourselves cleaned up. We make ourselves committed to God, committed to his will, praying out his will in our life. Prayer of praise and worship, where we're just thanking God and we're just in conversation with him about how magnificent he is in our life. Prayer of binding and loosing, binding demonic forces at work, loosing heavenly forces to work. Prayer of intercession, where we pray for somebody else. I challenge you, don't be selfish in your prayer. Don't make prayer all about you. If you have a need, ask for it. If there's something that you need to talk to God about, talk to him. But don't make prayer all about you. we should be praying and interceding for others. So today, I want us to look at the construction of prayer, how prayer should be constructed. And we're going to study out when Jesus taught his disciples about prayer in Matthew chapter 6. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. So Jesus is starting his teaching on prayer. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. So what's Jesus telling us here and talking to his disciples about? He's like, when you go pray, don't pray for a show. Remember when we talked about praise and worship? It's not that we do it for a show. It's not so people can see us lift up our hands. It's not so people can see us clap and go, oh, they're so spiritual. No. When we pray, we don't be like, look at me, I'm praying. Look over here. Who has two thumbs and praying? Me. Look, I'm praying. Check me out. We do it because we're communicating with God. We don't do it for a show. We don't do it so people can see us and go, oh, they must be super spiritual. They're praying. No. We do it because we love God and we want fellowship with Him. So don't be like the hypocrites who stand on the synagogues in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. For verily I say to you, they have their reward. So we're not going to do it for a show. Everything that God asks us to do, the number one thing is don't do it so you can be seen by somebody else. Do it because you love God and you want to be close to Him. When you worship God, don't do it so you can be seen by somebody else. Do it because you love God and you want to give Him praise. When you give, don't do it because you want to be seen by somebody else. When you are a servant and you go out and do kind deeds for people, don't do it so you can be seen by somebody else. Everything that we do because we love God should not be for a show. It should be out of a sincere relationship with the Creator. Look at verse 6. But when you pray, enter into your closet. Now that doesn't mean that you have to go into your closet at home and move your clothes and pray in there. What he's talking about is we're not going to do it for a show. You can go to a private place. And when you shut your door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth thou in secret shall reward thee openly. So, again, when we pray, we don't do it to be seen by people. What's our motive? What's in our heart when we call on His name? That's what God's concerned with. He's concerned about what's in here. He's concerned about our spirit. He's not concerned about people being able to see us be spiritual. He's concerned about a sincere, honest relationship with Him. So enter into your closet, pray to the Father, and verse 7, when you pray. So he didn't say if you pray, and we already looked at this morning, we've been commanded to pray. He says, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. So what are we talking about here? Don't say words just for the sake of saying words. Don't say words because you think it sounds good. Your prayer should be sincere. Don't pray something because you heard somebody else pray it one time. When you pray, pray in your own words to God. You don't have to pray exactly like somebody else prays. You don't have to say the same words that they say. When you pray, it's your conversation with God. So don't pray just to be saying words. You know, when we were all little, I'm sure you heard the prayer, or you might have said it yourself. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And when we're teaching young children to pray, It's good to, you know, use things like that that can get in their head. But as we grow, our prayer needs to grow too. It just doesn't need to be the same thing over and over again. It needs to be a fresh conversation with God, a sincere conversation with God. Not just saying words for the sake of words, but why are we saying them? What's our intention? What's our heart? What's our motive when we pray? Verse 8. Don't be likened to them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. So, your conversation with God is your conversation with God. Don't say words just because you heard somebody else say them. And then he goes into exactly how we should pray. So it says, after this manner, in verse 9, pray ye. So Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking to us this morning, and he's saying, this is how you need to pray. When you come to me in prayer, when you come to God in prayer, come like this. Not necessarily with these exact words, but as we're going to say, see, if you pray in this way. He starts out by saying, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So what is he doing here? He's starting with acknowledging who God is and praising him. I encourage you in your prayer life, when you come to God, start by acknowledging who he is in your life and start with praise. What's that little song that Eric started singing before this morning? I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. So what are we doing? That's a verse of scripture, by the way. The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. That's the verse of scripture that song is taken from. So when we come to God, we should come with praise. That's why we started talking about praise when we started talking about the fundamentals, because worship is so important to us. Worship, one-on-one time with Him, outside of what we do on Sunday. Yes, worship is important when we come to church. It's one of the most important things we do while we're here. But it's a lifestyle. And so when we come to God in prayer, we start with acknowledging who God is, honoring Him, and praising Him. So I encourage you, when you come to God in prayer, start the same way. Start with praise. Start with thanking Him. Start with honoring Him. Psalm 150, verses 1 through 6 says, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the heavens of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to the abundance of His greatness. Praise Him with a trumpet sound. Praise Him with a lute and a harp. Praise Him with a tambourine and in a single or a group dance. Praise Him with a stringed and a wind instruments or flutes. Praise Him with a resounding cymbal. Praise Him with a loud clashing cymbal. Let everything that has breath and every breath of life praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. God wants us to come to Him with praise, to come to Him with worship, to come to Him with thankfulness. The next thing is, verse 10 of Matthew chapter 6, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So what is Jesus doing next? So first He comes with worship. And if this is the way that Jesus prays, my goodness, this is the way we need to be praying. So, what does He do next? He prays that God's will be done in and through us on this earth. So once we praise God, then we need to pray out the will of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Notice it's not what we want. Many times when we come to God in prayer, we just come with what we want. We come with our list of things that we want, and it's good to keep an idea of things that we're praying for. I'm not telling you to go tear up your prayer list. We have them here too. They're really good so you can keep your focus on things that you are interceding about. But when we come to God, don't just come with a want list in the way you think it needs to be done. Pray that God's will be done, that His way of doing things happen in us, through us, on earth. Pray that He would open our eyes to be able to see what we need to do in us, what we need to do to make His will happen. Because, you know, we are commanded to carry out His will on this earth. It's our job. It's our responsibility to be God's hands, feet, His body here on earth. And His will is accomplished through us and in us. Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to external and superficial customs. But be transformed and changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. So, when we pray out God's will in our life and on earth, we need to realize that we don't need to be conformed to this world. What do I mean by that? Trying to be like everybody else. It's okay to be different. It's okay not to blend in. You were not born to blend in. Now, I'm not hating on camouflage because I know we're in hunting season. But if you wear spiritual camouflage all the time and you don't stand out in this world for righteousness and holiness and the things of God, then we aren't doing our job. We should be different. We should not look like everybody else. We should not talk like everybody else. We should not do the things that everybody else does. God has commanded us to be holy. So we don't need to be conformed to this world and its customs, but transformed how? By the renewing of our mind. And the Bible says that we renew our mind and we refresh our mind by the washing of the water of the Word. So the Word of God, getting in His Word, communication with Him, that is what changes us. That is what conforms us to Him instead of the world. Why? So we may do the will of God. Jeremiah 29:11-13. I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Then you will seek me and inquire for and require me as a vital necessity, and you'll find me when you search for me with all of your heart. God has plans for you. You have a purpose on this earth. You are not here by accident. You are not some accident that happened. You are here on purpose. God created you for a specific plan and a specific purpose, and He's put you here to fulfill that. And if you aren't dead, that means God still has something left for you to do. You're never too young or too old to do something for God. There's not an expiration date on your big toe. Go home and check. Take your socks off and look. You don't have a due date. God wants to use you. You haven't expired. Maybe you feel like giving up, but God still has plans for you. Maybe you're walking through the most difficult time that you've ever faced in your entire life, but God still has plans for you. And if you will turn to Him with everything that you have, and go after Him with everything that you have, you'll find Him. Look there at verse 13. You will seek me, inquire for, and require me as a vital necessity in your life, and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I encourage you, pray that God's will be done in and through you. Pray that God would open doors for you to serve other people. Pray that God would open your eyes to what He has for you to do, because there is something that you are on earth for. God has put gifts and abilities and talents inside of you that are unique to you. Your fingerprint alone tells you He designed you special. Nobody else in the history of earth has had it or will have it. It's one of the things that the police can use to identify you because it's uniquely you. God has created you special for a purpose. And then people say, well, you tell everybody that they're special. Well, God created you special. He designed you. Even twins are not completely identical. There are things that only you can do that God has specifically put you on earth here for. I challenge you to dig into them and find them. If you don't know, then start with what you do know. You know that God wants you to praise Him. You know that God wants you to pray. You know that God wants you to get in His Word. You know that God wants you to be a blessing and a servant to other people. You know that God wants you to do good to people and love people and encourage people. Start there. And once you get that up and going, then God will give you more detail. But we got to do first things first. When you're trying to instruct kids on how to do something, you're putting something together, you don't start at the end. You start at the beginning. Say you're making cookies together. You don't just tell a kid, dump all the ingredients in the bowl and stir. Woo! That would be a mess. You take it one step at a time, and you go through each step completely before you go to the next one. And in our relationship with God, we take it one step at a time and we get that down before we go to the next one. We don't just jump to the finish line. It is a daily walk, a daily race, a daily marathon with God. This isn't a sprint. It's a long-term relationship. A long-term relationship. And God has called us to pray His will and His plans be done in and through us. And then we have to be open and ready for God to open doors. Because you may be at the Walmart, like we talked about earlier, and somebody might come through on your busiest day when you are in need of moving in a hurry. And God may say, stop and talk to them. And pray for it. And you're like, by the broccoli? You want me to pray for these people by the broccoli? Yes. Stop and pray by the broccoli. I'm going to see y'all all in the broccoli section this week, trying to find somebody to pray for. But seriously, be open and ready to listen to God. Prayer is a two-way street. So we need to pray that God's will be done in us and through us and in earth. The next thing in verse 11, it says, give us this day our daily bread. You know, we get pretty far into the prayer before we start asking for wants or things that we need. Because your daily bread isn't necessarily a want. That's something that you need for survival. Give us this day our daily bread. So then we petition God. We come to Him in prayer. We've recognized who He is. We've come to Him with worship. We've prayed that His will be done, not our will be done. So we're not coming to God with a selfish, give me mentality. And then we petition God. Philippians 4:19. My God will liberally supply and fill to the full your every need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God will take care of you. We just need to thank God that He will, because He's promised us. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than they? If the birds can make it, so can you. If He takes care of the birds, if He makes sure that they have food, even in the coldest of winters, if He provides for them, are you not worth much more than them? Sure, God created the birds. He didn't create them for a personal relationship. He created you to have a personal relationship with. God's going to take care of you. Hebrews 13:5. Let your character and moral disposition be free from the love of money or greed or lust or craving for earthly possessions. Be satisfied with your present circumstances and what you have. For he, God himself, said, I will not in any way fail you or give up on you or leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless or forsake you or let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. God has got you. No matter how bad your circumstances may seem, God has got you. You don't have to have a craving for stuff or a craving for the stuff that this world has to offer. God will take care of you. He's promised that he wouldn't leave you. Verse 12, ask for forgiveness and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Not only ask for forgiveness, but then forgive other people. You know that sheet back there that talks about the hindrances to our prayer? I encourage you to grab that on the way out. Unforgiveness is a roadblock in your prayer life. Unforgiveness is a roadblock in your prayer life. Don't hold grudges against people. Jesus said, if we can't forgive others, then our Heavenly Father can't forgive us. Oh my goodness. That's a pretty powerful verse of scripture. If we have hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness in our hearts towards somebody else, then God said he can't forgive us. I encourage you, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, let it go. Let it go. Don't hang on to it. Don't drag it around with you. Forgive. Release them. And let it go. We need to ask forgiveness for sin. John 1:9. If we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful and just and true to his own nature and promises, and he will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to his will and purpose and thought and action. So what this verse of scripture is saying, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us. I encourage you, if you have sin in your life, if you have mess that's separating you from God, ask for forgiveness. Get it right with God. You don't want to go through life separated from him. The very basic definition of sin is missing the mark. And if you've missed the mark today, don't leave here without making things right with God. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all made wrong decisions and wrong choices. We don't have to stay in it, though. Jesus died. He shed his blood so that we could be forgiven of all of our wrongdoing. Don't leave here without making things right with God. Don't leave here with unforgiveness in your heart. Don't leave here without asking God to forgive you of your sin. He wants a relationship with you, but sin separates us from him. That's the whole reason that Jesus had to come in the beginning. Because Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They missed the mark. They ate from the fruit of the tree. And when they ate from the fruit of the tree, they gave Satan the right to be the ruler of the earth. They gave him the power that God had given them in the garden. But God knew that this would happen. And he had a plan for forgiveness. He had a plan that would once again reunite us with him.
And so he sent his son Jesus to the earth. And Jesus only did good. But religious leaders couldn't stand him. And they took him to court and falsely accused him and sentenced him to die. And then he died on the cross for us. He could have stopped it at any time, but he chose to take our place. Because the wages of sin are death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Don't leave here today with sin in your life. Make it right. Ask for forgiveness. Repent. Don't just say I'm sorry, but repent. And we talked about that a few weeks ago, how being sorry for your sin and repentance of sin are two different things. When kids tell you, oh, I'm sorry, and then 10 minutes later do it again, they were sorry, but they got caught. But they weren't repentant. Because when we repent, we turn from. We acknowledge we did wrong, and then we turn from it and go in the complete opposite direction. I encourage you to repent. To admit that you messed up, confess up to God, and then turn from that mess and go in the other direction. And forgive others. Ephesians 4:32. And become useful and helpful and kind to one another. Tenderhearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely, as God in Christ forgave you. Be willing to forgive one another quickly. Today is my 1-year anniversary with my honey. About that. I can't believe it's already been a year. And a few hours from now, 1 year ago, we were standing right up here with Tabaco's beautiful garden surrounding us. Oh my goodness, check out my Facebook page. You can look at all the pictures and the videos and all that. Because I will not be sharing it again today. But one thing that I've learned in a year. Not that I have very much more experience than that. Speak up when it comes to relationships. And for any relationship, for that matter, you must be quick to forgive. You must be quick to forgive. You know, Ephesians has it right when it says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't be like, I got till Sunday to be like this. Be quick to forgive. Don't be peeking out the window to see when the sun's going down. Okay, I forgive now. But in any relationship that you have in life, and I'm so blessed to have my husband. I don't know what I would do without him. He is the best thing since sliced bread and cheese, and we all know I love cheese. But in any relationship, be quick to forgive, because people are going to make mistakes. Sometimes on purpose, sometimes genuinely a mistake. Don't hold that in your heart, because it is like a disease that will eat you alive from the inside out. Be quick to forgive. So, how do we wrap up prayer? Verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So how do we end prayer? We ask for wisdom and we end with praise and worship. We start with praise and worship. We end with praise and worship. We ask God for wisdom to go in our life and wisdom. Don't lead us into temptation. Help us to be led by the Holy Spirit. Deliver us from evil. Show us the right way to go. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. James 1:5 says, if any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving Father, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given to him. So if you lack wisdom, ask of God, who gives to all men. Proverbs 4:5-7, get skillful in godly wisdom. Get understanding, discernment, comprehension, and interpretation. Don't forget, don't turn back from the words of my mouth. Forsake not wisdom, and she will keep, defend, and protect you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is, get wisdom. Skillful, godly wisdom. For skillful and godly wisdom is the principal thing. And with all of you that you've gotten, get understanding, discernment, comprehension, and interpretation. So, we got to get wisdom, and with all our getting, get understanding. So it's one thing to have knowledge of something. It's another thing to understand how to put it into use. So God is telling us, get knowledge, get wisdom, get understanding, and then get interpretation and discernment and comprehension to know how to use the knowledge that you got. So we need to pray for wisdom. We need to pray that we are led by the Spirit of God. We need to pray for discernment, that God would show us what way to go, that we would comprehend what He's trying to get us to do. So that's the model prayer. That's the basics on prayer and how God wants us to pray. And I feel like my dad on his last sermon series, because we're not going to finish this again. And that's okay. Because it's important that we take time to get these fundamental things on the inside of us. We got to do first things first. You tell your kids, clean your room, and then you can watch your favorite TV show. And they jump in front of the TV like they went and did something. You know they spent 2 minutes in there shoving everything in the closets, under the bed, in the drawers. You walk in and stuff looks like it's about to explode everywhere. Why? Because they didn't care about doing what they were supposed to do. They just wanted to get to the TV. And many times in our walk with God, God says, okay, these are the things I require of you. These are the things that you need to do. And so we go in there and we shove stuff around and we look like we've done stuff and we work real quick and then we're like, okay, we get to the end part. We get to the chill bumps and the feel goods and the warm and the fuzzies. But God wants us to do first things first. He wants us to do what He's called us to do. God reacts to what we do. He's, if then, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal their land. God is waiting on us to do the first things. You know, you hear people talk of, if I could just get another prophecy or another revelation from God, or I just need to get, we need to get first things right first. So that's why we're taking a look at these fundamental building blocks of a life in Christ and what they're supposed to look like and how we put them into practice, because they are the keys to a successful personal relationship with God. You're not going to have a friend if you don't talk to him. What'd your mama tell you all the time? If you wanted to have a friend, you've got to be friendly. Can't be some wild heathen running around all day talking to anybody. You've got to be talkative. You've got to reach out to people. Well, if we want a close personal relationship with God, He says, I'm standing at your door and I'm knocking. If anyone will hear my voice and open up the door and let me in. The King James Version says, I'll sup with them. Meaning, I'll have close fellowship with them. I'll have communion, communication with them. God is standing at our heart's door and knocking, saying, I want a closer relationship with you. I want more of you. I designed you for more than what you're doing right now. Let me in. Make room for me to work. Worship me. Talk to me. Communicate with me. I'm longing for that communication with you. So we're going to do something a little bit different to end service. We're going to take a few minutes and we're going to put on a worship song and we're just going to pray. And if you want to pray at your chair, that's fine. If you want to walk around and pray, that's fine. If you need agreement with prayer, if you need somebody to pray with you, I'm going to be right up here and we can pray. If you have sin in your life, it's time to get it right.
Thank you for joining us for Life Church broadcast today. We want to hear from you. You can write to us at Post Office Box 1004, Monticello, Arkansas 71657, or you can call us at 870-460-0829. Also, check out our new website, www.getlife.co. That's www.getlife.co. There you can find our pastor's sermon notes and see what we're doing all around the world as well as at home. We would love to have you in service with us. Come check us out at Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. or Tuesday evening prayer at 7 p.m. and we would love to see you there. We're located at 910 Old Warren Road, right in Monticello, Arkansas. Now remember, go this week and live to make God look good. God bless you till we're with you again.